That's Friday, which means it's time for our regular weekly food segment. And today we're talking cheese. In the past few decades, our reliance on food markets has not only changed what we eat, but how we make food. Lyndall Dykes is trying to change all of that in her own little way. She's running cheese-making workshops across rural New South Wales and Queensland, has discovered there's a big desire for homemade camemberts, fettas, ricottas, mascarpones and yogurts as well. I caught up with her just before she finished her classes in the Northern Tablelands, and I asked her why we should make our own cheese.
There's really nothing nicer than homemade food. And, you know, making your own cheese is a really rewarding thing to do. You know exactly what's going into the food that you're eating. And it's also really cost-effective as well.
Do they taste... Well, you're going to say, of course, they taste better than anything you can buy from a shop. Does the process a difficult one so that even though we might want to give it a crack, it may not be as good as we think?
Look, you know, the process is as simple. We'll take it back. You know, milkmaids have been making cheese on mountain plateaus for centuries using nothing but their elbow as a thermometer.
Yep.
You know, so we've broken it down into something that is very, very simple and easy for you to be able to reproduce in your own kitchen.
How long have you been offering courses in cheese making?
3.5 years we've been taking it on the road now. So we travel all over New South Wales teaching people how to make cheese. So, you know, in the last couple of weeks we've been in Tamworth, we're in Armidale, we've been up and down the coast, Laurieton and Ballina, and we're also out at Bathurst. So we get all over the place.
Now, for you to be able to teach people how to make cheese, then you'd have to have learned how to make cheese yourself.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I've pretty much a self-taught cheesemaker. I did spend one weekend with an expert and I walked away absolutely terrified of the whole process. You know how sometimes you can ask an expert how you do something and they make it sound so confusing that you're just so happy to leave it to them to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Go to the shop and buy it. Well, and I walked away feeling just like that. And then I thought, no, I really want to make cheese. And so I started playing and I am a kitchenaholic, I will admit, but my time spent in the kitchen has been well worthwhile, and I've unravelled the mysteries. I've broken it down to something that is so simple that even if you're not a cook, you can make cheese.
Can we make any sort of cheese ourselves?
Look, we teach people how to make soft cheeses, so feta, camembert. We also teach them like mascarpone and cream cheese. But we also do blue veins, cheddars, Havartis, Edam, mozzarella. So we teach about 20 different cheeses. The only cheese that I do have a little bit of an issue with is Swiss.
Oh, why? What's it? Why putting the holes in?
Yeah.
Is that really an issue?
My small enough.
I thought that was only in the cartoons.
Yeah. Now, Swiss cheese actually rises like a loaf of bread, so that's how you get the holes in there. But you need to maintain a temperature of about 22 and 24 degrees for a six-week period to get the cheese to rise like a loaf of bread. So it's not that easy to maintain that temperature in a home-style kitchen.
So what can you do in a home-style kitchen? What sort of things do you need?
The majority of the things you'll find that you already have in your own kitchen. We use pallet knives and cake racks. Our cheese vat is a 10 litre plastic vat that you would buy from any shop, really. So the equipment that we use is very, very, very simple. It's as simple as the process itself. And at the end of the day, when you've finished your cheese making, everything packs up into that one little box that you need. So it's not one of those things that when you start making it, you're going, oh my gosh, I need this and I need that and I need to build an extra room on the house.
So that we don't sound scared of the process, can you just give us a bit of an idea of what that process is?
Yeah, sure. Well, we start with milk, obviously, and we just need to bring that milk up to a temperature that we can get some cultures to work in. So usually, you know, sort of 32s up to 35 degrees. So it just bringing the milk basically up to body temperature. Then we add a starter culture, and what the starter culture does is it gives the cheese its flavour. Then we rennet our milk, and what the rennet does is it sets the curd, so it turns the curd from a liquid into more like a junket kind of consistency. The next process is just cutting the curd, which is a matter of just slicing the curd from top to bottom, left to right, and then we use a cake rack to go through. And depending on the cheese you're making, depends on how you cut the curd. So if you're wanting to make a hard cheese, you cut the curd quite small. If you're wanting to make a soft cheese, like a camembert, you would cut the curd larger. So this point here, that is where you determine what cheese you're making. And then we turn the curd. Some cheeses need to have the curd cooked, or you need to wash the curd, and that's just a very, very simple thing to do. And then we hoop it. And a lot of the cheese you can eat, in the same day. Some of the cheeses you need to wait. So if you're making ricotta, and ricotta only takes milk and heating milk up, and some vinegar, and that you just, bring the milk up to boiling point, drop your vinegar in, give it one stir, two stir, take the spoon out, turn the heat off, let it sit for 20 minutes and allow a raft of curd to form on top of the whey, and you gently lift the raft of curd from the whey, drain it for 20 minutes, and it's ready to eat.
From the starting process to the process by which, before you put it away, that it has to mature, how long would that take?
Depending on the cheese, better you can make that today and be eating that in 4 to 5 days' time. Camembert, you can make that today and be eating that in 4 weeks' time. Same with your blue veins. And your mozzarella, you can make it today and eat it tonight.
Listening to you, it sounds like one of those things that sort of sounds a bit complicated, but once you actually do it for the first time, you go, oh, it's that easy.
Yeah, absolutely. We have people coming to our workshops and they're going, oh, really? I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. And we just say, you will be fine. All you need to do is just have a little bit of common sense. Put a day aside to when you first start, just so that you're feeling comfortable and relaxed. And you don't want to stress about making cheese. I mean, it's a really enjoyable thing to do. And, it's quite relaxing turning curd, and it's something you just take your time with.
You hear stories, especially from European communities, about days set aside for cooking, making sauces, making sausage and that sort of thing. It sounds like the same idea.
Oh, yes. And wouldn't it be lovely if we all could go back to doing things like that and taking responsibility of the food that we consume and saving food miles and being more sustainable, all of those things.
When you first hear of because you hear about the importance of temperatures, you hear about pasteurising and all of that sort of business, are they things that we need to consider?
Look, I teach cheese making in a home-style kitchen environment. I figure if you've been eating out of your kitchen for as long as you've been eating out of it and it hasn't killed you yet, it's not going to kill you if you make cheese.
Do you have to be careful, though, if you're actually teaching?
Look, we do need to be mindful that we are creating a perfect environment for bacteria to grow. So we do need to be mindful of that. And all the equipment that we use is nice and clean. But I don't go overboard with having everything sterilised and mouth, covers and all hair nets and all that kind of stuff. I work in a very relaxed environment because I am teaching people how to make home cheese.
Yep.
And we're often teaching people that live out on large properties. They have a house cow. They're making cheese for their own consumption. We don't teach people how to make cheese where they're then selling it at markets or anything like that. This is purely and simply making cheese for your own consumption. And if you're happy to bake a cake and eat your cake, you should be just as happy to make some cheese and eat your own cheese.
Because milk is the basis, the base of making cheese, what is important to actually get good milk, or can you just go and buy that from the supermarket?
Look, you can buy the milk that we use from the supermarket. When you are making a renneted cheese, which is the majority of the cheeses that you can make, well, then you use an unhomogenised milk. Now, unhomogenised milk is available Australia-wide. Any of the supermarkets will sell it, and if they don't have much in stock, sometimes they don't carry a lot, just ask the dairy manager to order you some in. So it's just an unhomogenised milk that you use, and obviously, the better the quality and the fresher the milk that you start with, then the better the product will be at the end of the day.
And yeah, goat's milk, all different milks are going to give you different cheeses and different flavours.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we work with goat's milk and sheep's milk. I've yet to try yak and buffalo, but yeah, goat's milk and sheep's milk and cow's milk is what we work with.
Hey, Linda, what sort of people come along and do the workshops?
We have people of all ages and all walks of life. We have a lot of chefs that come along. We've had school teachers, like home economic type teachers, that then want to take a few of these ideas back to the schoolroom to show kids that, you know, like making cheese doesn't have to be hard and milk doesn't come off a supermarket shelf, it comes from a cow. You know, we have grandmothers, we have young mothers. Yeah, so people of all different walks of life.
And do they walk away with the cheese when they finished?
Yep, they sure do.
And is there a popular choice?
Our mascarpone is definitely something that most people want to make. But the feta is so simple and quick to make. I can't say that there'd be a most popular or certainly not a most favourite.
And there's nothing better than feta in a salad.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And in the workshops, we show people how you can have one recipe, like for your feta cheese, and then you can turn that into different styles of feta. So out of that one recipe, just by learning how you cut your curd and different things that you do, you can have a Greek-style feta, or you can turn that same recipe into a Persian feta just by how you treat your curd.
I'm sure we'll all be inspired, Lyndall. Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
And I hope we can all get out there and make our own cheeses after we've just found out just how easy it is. It's time to take a look at letters, and with me in the studio to tell us about them is Verica. Hi, Verica.
Hi, Trevor. Actually, I should say my mum makes her own ricotta cheese, and she got the recipe from watching Stefano Di Pieri on television a few years ago.
Not mascarpone.
No, ricotta.
Okay.
Okay, letters. Yes. Now, all of this week we've been looking at live animal export, the debate that erupted on that about a year ago. On Tuesday, we ran a story about a pastoralist in WA who said she was going to go to Indonesia to see for herself how her cattle were being treated. Peter from the New England area wrote to say, "The intention of some women from cattle properties in northern Australia to travel to Indonesia to study at first hand stock handling and slaughtering standards is commendable. Those who are raising and sending cattle to Indonesia do have a duty to ensure their animals are being handled respectfully and slaughtered humanely." And Sue wrote in to say, to comment on our story about Australian tomatoes, yeah, which we mentioned briefly in Rural News. She says, "There was a brief item on Bush Telly about there being only one tomato processor left in Australia. A spokesperson for that processor said something about keeping the price down and something about other values that consumers want, without naming those values. However, I've been buying Italian or Spanish canned tomatoes for years simply because I have never found Australian tomatoes canned without sugar and without salt, nor have I ever seen Australian organic tomatoes canned without sugar or salt. So why are Australian tomato processors preferring to go out of business rather than produce a product that people want?"
Thanks very much, Verica, and that's it for Bush Telegraph this week. Thanks to the team, executive producer Verica Jokic, producers Belle Trump, Kieran McLennan, Georgia Powell and Sonia Heidemann, technical producers Kerry Dell, Paul Penton and Angie Grant.